Sci-Fi Party Line. Okay, guys, welcome back to Sci-Fi Party Line. I know we've been gone for a long time. It's been a month, you know, but we're back. This is your hostess, Kat. I have Phineas back.
Yo, what's up?
Really, that's enthusiastic, Phineas. And we have Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You got to be happy to hear from me. This is the, we're back. It's a party. Woo!
No, we're very excited.
Yeah, okay.
We're very excited. Okay. I'm feeling the partiness here.
All right, then. I'm just going to let y'all be like that. Today, as we bring back the show, we are going to talk about Iron Man. You guys, how are we feeling about Iron Man 2? I liked it. I thought it was very fun. I thought it was what I was expecting, just a fun summer movie. Let's go with Phineas first. What do you think?
Why do I always have to go first?
You know what? Okay. Scratch you, dude. Always have to say scratch you, dude. Carl.
I can go first. It's no big deal.
Actually,
I liked the movie a lot. I enjoyed it for what it was. I don't think I enjoyed it quite as much as the first movie, you know, because I think that, you know, they kind of, there was a few more typical cliches, I think, that were in this movie that were it made it a little less creative than the first one. However, like I said.
A few. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Just your
yeah, okay.
Let's talk about these cliches.
Well, I was trying to be polite, City Slicker, man. You know. But anyway.
Why you hating on my civilization? That's all right.
Hey, man. I'm a refugee from the jungle, man. What can I say? I'm a mutt. No, anyway. But that's what I overall think of it. I enjoyed the movie and it was entertaining, but the first movie was a little bit more creative. You know, they went out of the box and did a few creative things in the first movie, and so I didn't really pick. You know, I didn't really go to the movie to pick it apart. You know, I just kind of went for the ride and to check out, you know, the whole idea with all the suits and of course they were going to come up with somebody, you know, that some crazy villain that was a genius that looked like, you know, some, you know, guy that's been in jail for like 50 years, you know, and that came from the, you know, I don't know where he came from, but I thought that was really cool about this villain though, is the dude looked like a stone to the bone, like Russian Hell's Angel.
Day 11, test 37, configuration 2.0. For lack of a better option, dummy is still on fire safety. If you douse me again and I'm not on fire, I'm donating you to City College.
And we got disconnected there for a second, but Phineas was saying...
He looked like a stone cold Hell's Angels.
Mickey Rourke was pretty gangster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but I could appreciate that, like I said, being a... almost a rocket scientist that looks like a truck driver. You know, I can relate to that. People, when I do high tech stuff, it throws people off. You know, they don't expect it. Well, that the villain was just that way. You thought that he was just going to be, you know, some dude that was going to just, you know, hijack something. And, you know, like I thought that they were going to have like another company that built a suit or something. He was going to hijack it and just go crazy. But nah, the dude did exactly the same thing that the original character did in the first movie. He set up and built his own generator from scratch, you know.
Yeah. Right out the garage lab, yes.
Yep. All right, Carl, what are you thinking about this? What are these cliches that you're so excited about?
Well, I want to go with Phineas on this. I like the first one better. And what's really frustrating is they went off the chart with some things in Iron Man 2. I mean, the effects were better. The suits were better. I love the casting. Without a doubt, the people that they picked for every role in Iron Man 2, dead on. Mm-hmm. These people were just perfect. So, I mean, so you see all of the effort and the time they put into that, and you're going, oh, yeah, man, this is going to be great. And then you look at what they did with the storyline and look at what they did with the plot. And I'm just saying,
what was wrong with it? I mean, from a summer movie standpoint, what was wrong?
Oh man, well,
it was just like RoboCop all over again, in my opinion.
I haven't seen that in years, dude. So you're gonna have to explain that one to me.
Well, okay, here's one. All right, and okay, this may be another cat nitpick, but think about the what do you call it? The ex-wife. All right, the weapon, the ex-wife, right?
Frogless.
No, it was not. I thought the naming was good. The lineup was great. It's like, oh, this is the best weapon we got. All this stuff. The setup for it to end with it just sort of falling on the ground like that.
That was hilarious.
That was too much of a setup for that little tale.
That's what made it funny. It's like, ooh, it's going to do this, that, the other, and it's going to do, and you know, you expect them to be all big bad, and then ping, and it just fizzles, and that's just hilarious to me.
Oh, that was it was a long way to go for that little payoff. I was just like, no, they did not do that. Now, I like Rockwell's character though, wasn't it? Hammer
yes.
Was awesome, man.
He was
awesome.
Smarmy and sleazy, and he was just awesome as that type of character. All wow. I was missing was like a gold chain, and he would have been on it.
Yeah, but so all right, so that was a little thing. Now the big thing is, like I said, every part of this movie was innovative in terms of the characters, in terms of the uniforms, the special effects, all that stuff was dead on, right? How are we going to have the cliched ending? Now, we had Vanko create a drone army, all right? He had an entire army of machines.
Yeah.
I mean,
RoboCop.
He had a droid army at his disposal. He had all of the weaponry that Hammer had, you know, given him to do. All he had, Don Cheadle, you know, we got Tony Stark's best buddy, lashed up inside of an equal weapon, right? All of this coming down on Stark. And what happens? He just sits back at the home base waiting for the drones to get picked off one at a time. Then he waits for Cheadle to get the suit unlocked. Then he shows up in the middle of the park, so it's just like, you know, those three. The movie crescendos in a tug of war, and then you get the climactic ending that no one has ever seen before, where the good guys team up, cross the streams, and then that's it. And that's the end.
Typical. I mean,
Ghostbusters.
It was a summer movie, Carl. I don't understand why you're so outraged.
No.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, listen, my only beef, really, my only real beef with the first Iron Man movie was the anticlimactic end. Okay, you got suits, dudes building nuclear reactors in deserts and in garages and stuff. How does the movie end? Cold engine. Froze the dude suit, the end. All right, same thing at the end of this movie. All of the excitement, the dude's building a fusion reactor in his garage. He's got lightning bolts coming out of whips. He's got a whole drone army coming together. What does the movie end with? Cross the streams, bam, and he's laid up there going, oh, I never could have predicted this. I was like, come on. I would not be so frustrated with this if the movie hadn't taken me in so many exciting other places. I mean, like I said, the technology off the chart, user interface, come on. I could just sat there watching Stark play with the computer. That was awesome, man. Those the 3D yep. graphics and all of that stuff. The idea, you know, you got the two corporations battling. All of that stuff was really, really exciting. And then you just kind of fizzled out at the end, just like the first one kind of had.
Bad guys, and so bad guys always, you know, have the inferior products. I'm not going to call Microsoft a bad guy, but it was kind of like Microsoft versus Apple, where you had
I was about to bring that up. The Hammer dude was a disco version of Bill Gates. That's all it was.
Bill Gates and kind of how Google is, where all of their designs are kind of boxy and industrial and may or may not work. Everything is kind of clunky. And they're always trying to keep up with the Apple guy who's, you know, arty and the products, everybody wants it, everybody likes it. So, I don't know, I thought that was dead on. No.
Yeah, well, go ahead, I'm sorry, Carl.
No, I'm just saying, the end of the movie, it had Vanko. Okay, so, all right, if you want to say poor workmanship is what picked off the drones, this is like old Batman style stuff where you send all of the minions out one at a time and then they get picked off and then the bad guy comes in and goes, oh, I'll get you, and they throw water on him and it's over. I want to see something different.
I think it was just the whole thing was just very predictable, to say the least. You know, like, for example, when he said, when his father comes up in the film and says that you are the future and there's no technology right now, and then all of a sudden you look at the city and it's like, oh, you know what? That's a schematic.
Yep.
Bam.
Yep.
10 minutes later, the dude is
creating is a new element.
Creating a new element. Oh, well, see, that's why I could not pick the movie apart scientifically, because it was cool. First, the dude is going to build an accelerator or an atom smasher, right?
And yeah, then all of house. A sudden,
no. Then he takes a prism and puts, and then focuses a laser through a prism, which that is ridiculous, because what is a prism going to do? It's going to separate all the light, right? So there's no way you're going to put a laser beam through a prism. And
no, man, it was a space prism. You see, in the future,
it was an ism.
It was some good old unobtainium. Is what he did.
It was unobtainium.
In the movie novelization, it's actually vibranium.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That's okay. Now I know that when I come go out into the adult market, I know what to name the next invention. A vibranium.
Well, it's been around for a while, since the 60s, so he didn't actually invent it. It was first introduced in Captain America's Shield, Daredevil number 13 in 1966 or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, so, yeah. I don't know. People might pick that apart. People might not pick it apart. I want to know what number element that is. You know, it's like right there with adamantium and unobtainium and all that other type of stuff. But they didn't really get into that, so I guess we can't pick this movie apart scientifically.
It was still cool, though.
I am letting them go scientifically with stuff. But if you're going to bend the rules in a way that moves the plot along. Bend the rules in a way that, you know, really shows us something different. Because, you know, I tease about the unobtainium and I don't even really care so much about that kind of stuff. But if you're going to, you know, be bending the rules and inventing physics and stuff, just make it serve the plot in a way that's really innovative.
Well, it did, because he got his little heart fixed and he didn't, what?
No, it was very Tin Man of you. Yes,
no, yeah. He got his heart fixed, and he had some, you know, unobtainium in his heart and his triangle now, and whatever.
I really did dig the whole deal with him trying to do disco moves in the Iron Man suit. I was cracking up the whole time. But for what, you know what I'm saying? The whole, okay, I don't care anymore. I'm about to die tomorrow, so I'm gonna party my butt off in my Iron Man suit.
That,
you know,
was just hilarious.
That was hilarious.
He's pulling watermelons and shooting a pool.
But the funny thing was the only thing that made the ending a waste for me was, you know, you see this guy and he's going through all of his self-destructive behavior and he destroys his house and all of that. And then the fact that he sat up there and fought those things, and then all of a sudden he gets tired of fighting. So now he pulls out the laser and cuts all of them in half.
Well, it was a one-shot deal. He needed them all to be close enough so he can use it the one time.
Yeah.
And he had to do that.
I'll let that physics go. I mean, and it was cool, too. That was a cool scene, no doubt. But see, come on. You got the laser that slices like 80 robots at once, and then you got Cross the Streams. That's what I'm talking about. Come on.
Like I was saying to somebody who was, when we came out the movie, you know, we were standing around. Of course, everybody likes to talk to me for some reason. But everybody was talking about, I said, hey, man, I see a mixture of a bunch of stuff, Ghostbusters and RoboCop. Mm-hmm. And you know, the whole thing, I seen a lot of stuff that they took from a lot of different movie plots and stuck them into this movie. But like I said, for what it is, though, it was really bad to call this Iron Man 2. Because to me, even though I could see how they tried to continue it from the first one, when I walked out of there, I did not feel like it was really a sequel. I feel like that this could have been the beginning. This could have been like the first series of another series. You know what I mean? I didn't
well,
really
maybe
take
it wasn't supposed to be a continuation, just a second story.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, this could have been, yeah, it could have been, it could have started from here and went on, you know. I didn't really see it as a, I expected it to be kind of more of a continuation of the first one. But I tell you who my favorite, who my two favorite characters were. First of all, that assistant, what's her name? I didn't
forget. Natalie Rushman.
Oh, Natalie, man.
Black Widow.
She was it. I was happy just to go to the movie just to see her in that tight outfit.
No,
and the fact that she could take out 10 dudes while the butler or whoever he was was getting his butt kicked by one guy. She took out like 10 other guys, you know.
That's the writer. His name is John Favreau or Favreau or something.
Her being in the movie was really cool. I think that I'm glad they put that character in the movie.
I knew that was gonna come.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, the whole, you familiar with that whole, you ever heard that Steely Dan song, Pixeline? It's on his, on their new record. It was like a very Pixeline Supergirl type character, you know, and it was just great. It was just cool that they put that, Eva Tina, the lady I went with, she even liked that character, you know. It was just great character.
Who's your second favorite?
I think that, like I said, the Russian guy, when they picked that villain was the bomb, you know. he was just cool and calm and knew what he wanted and took advantage of the situation. And got back at the weenie. The only thing that cheated me at the end, just like Carl said, was the fact that he could have done a heck of a lot more. If he went through the trouble of having a drone army, he could have done way more damage.
Well, this is called Iron Man and not Whiplash, so we have to.
No, but I want to see a big battle. I want to see a big battle.
How big do you want? That was huge. They tore up the whole entire city.
Between Vanko and Iron Man, if it's going to be mano a mano at the end, I want that to last. I would have much rather they cut all the drone.
I thought you said you were done making weapons.
It is. This is a flight stabilizer. It's completely harmless. I didn't expect that.
We got cut off, and we're back. Continue.
Yeah, yeah. Like a longer battle between Vanko and Stark, I think, really. Because you saw how his whips were doing a good job of tearing up the Iron Man suit, right?
Yes.
If there had been a real battle, like, you know, Vanko's chest is sticking out. He's got on an old pair of jeans. He's got his fusion whips on. Like, if he got a couple good shots of Iron Man's, you know, the plate and arm came off, you know, and he's sitting there and he's limping along. And those two just duking it out in the park. You know, Cheadle, of course, would be injured on the side, so he couldn't be doing anything. And those two just slugging it out, you know, the robot suits, mess falling off.
I think they had their fight like that at the beginning, because that beginning fight, that first fight,
that's
was
true.
Was
I think
a showdown
so too.
Fight.
That was good, but then, like I said, it wasn't complete. You know, Happy hit him with the car, and then he ran away. I wanted to see them slugging that out at the end. But, all right, so I'm gonna leave it alone. Those are my main.
Okay, now let's talk about Mickey Rourke a little bit more. I honestly see him in this movie, and he looks crazy. I mean, I haven't seen him in a while. Honestly, I really can't place his face. I know he was in Sin City, The Wrestler, Angel Heart, stuff like that. But I look at him and I don't know who he is, you know, in this get up and the way he looks. But he is amazing as a character. He's believable. I had to ask, is he really Russian? You know, because I don't. I mean, this guy was a boxer. He won all of his fights.
Forget laser suit. He was terrifying. Just by himself, that dude was scary.
He was really convincing as this character. So
absolutely. Absolutely. I'm telling you, the casting was dead on. I love these people. Vanko was awesome. I thought his character was really frightening. He had a legitimate concern, a legitimate beef. You know, you find out that Stark's dad kind of co-opted, I'll say with the double quotes, co-opted the technology. This dude's been in a gulag for like 20 years, and Stark is out there. He's got two hottie assistants and jet setting across the planet, and, you know, using the power that his dad helped him make. So
I would have been mad too.
Thank you. I mean, that's
But my thing is, why did he choose the whips? It's like he was just so obsessed with making whips. I mean, like, why not a gun? Why not this? He's like, I just need whips. He got his ass you know, whip, no pun intended, the first time around with the whips, and they weren't, I mean, they were effective, but they weren't. So he's like, well, I'm going to make better whips. And then he went and made these Uber whips. And I don't know. We've seen the whip thing before. Was that fascinating? Was that scary? Did you?
No, you got to remember the purpose, Kat, about why he even bothered. The whole idea was, here you got this guy saying, I'm the savior of the world. You know, worship me. And then his whole idea, he didn't really care if he lived or died. He just wanted to put it out there that there is another force that could beat him, you know, or that could give him some trouble. And I think that it was just a way to cut Stark down more so than win the fight. You know, if you could do a bunch of damage to Stark, then he ain't all what he's cracked up to be. And I think he's, you know, from a storyline standpoint, I think he succeeded in doing that. He had the whole world and the Pentagon and everybody else in the upheaval, and that's why the situation in the movie wound up the way it was. So I think that in that regard, he was very successful, and he accomplished his mission by doing that.
Yep, because everything about him was real, you know, in your face, right on top of you. He could have come up with, you know, missiles or machine guns or lasers, but no, that whip, what was it? He was always trying to draw you toward him. He was pulling you right up in, you know, in his face. Like, it's real close battle kind of thing. And, you know, dude been in prison. I'm sure that's the way he knew how to fight. So.
With
whips. Well, you know, well, man face to face.
And ex-convict. So, you know, that's the best of both worlds, right?
There you go. That's the dude you do not want to mess with.
No. Okay, let's go to Don Cheadle and Terrence Howard.
just interchangeable black dude. That's all right. They just swap them out.
We all look alike, right?
You maybe no goes. One will notice that we have secretly switched Don Cheadle with... come on, people. Come on. But look, I'm at least happy to give it to a black dude. Because if you... they could have just swapped anybody in there. I'd have been like, come on, come on.
Did you like Don? Did he do a good job?
I liked Don Cheadle. I thought he did a good job with it. He felt a little bit closer to the uniform than Terrence Howard did.
Yeah.
But and, you know he
was more believable for sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but no, he played the part real well. He followed orders, and you saw that he had conscience about him, and you could tell he was really Stark's buddy. I mean, when they had a little, you know, shall we say, disagreement over at Stark's place, yeah, you know, you could see it was just two dudes trying to say, look, man, you're messing up. Just act right. We got to do this. And Stark was just like, man, get out of my face. I just my party. Where the watermelon's at? You know, it was just... it was hilarious, man. The music.
You're bitching brothers and watermelons, man.
What are you doing?
I am merely discussing the plot points. I don't know what you
I don't know what he means either.
I do not know. I do not. But, I mean, that was fun. No, seriously, there was a lot about. There were moments in this movie that seriously were just a lot of fun. The technology, the car, man, the car was awesome. Wasn't it? The car was beautiful.
Oh yeah.
And I want to reiterate Phineas's point that I believe Scarlett Johansson's role really moved along the story. It brought out a side of Tony Stark that perhaps we did not see. Motivated that she was in this story that just brought a whole new side of Iron Man out that I just felt like the movie would not have been the same without her, really.
I liked her. I didn't like her as much as you did. But I'm glad I think she brought out Gwyneth Paltrow a little bit more because they kind of like had a tiff and then it disappeared or something, but I like them working together, like, you know, just a kick-ass woman team, and they were going back and forth and they had on their designer clothes, and you know, I just enjoyed for that, you know, fact alone. And so I thought Gwyneth was a little bit more animated in this movie, and she got to kiss Stark at the end.
Yes, that was cool. Very nice. I agree.
Yeah, that's about time, but now things will get real confusing when they come out with the next one.
Oh, God. We got to go through a next one?
Oh, yes. There will be an Iron Man 3.
They have already set it up.
At the end with the Thor hammer deal. What do we think about Samuel L. Jackson in this movie?
Well, I thought it was
spot on.
I thought it was underutilized. Thank you. Exactly. I wanted to see more of him as Nick Fury.
He kind of phoned it in for me. He was just like, yeah, blah, and then I'm off.
Out of the donut, you know.
And they had the little Pulp Fiction type scene there when they were in the, the restaurant sitting at the booth. And I was just like, oh, my God, he's going to say something about a bad motherfucking wallet or something. I don't know.
That was well done. Well done. I thought that was subtle. I like that.
But, wow. What is that? S.H.I.E.L.D.? I don't know. I wanted more of them. I really didn't feel that as much as I wanted to. Now, as far as the comic books, how does this translate? Do y'all read the comic books? Have y'all read the comic books to this?
I unfortunately have not followed the comic books.
Okay, okay.
Phineas, you got anything? Yeah. No,
I haven't read a comic book in about 30 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm just telling the truth.
Well, in the comic book era, I hate to say, but I didn't think that Iron Man was particularly interesting.
Me either. Back then. That's when they say they were coming out with an Iron Man movie. I was like, what?
Well, yeah, exactly. Me too. And so the fact that, again, the casting just knocked it out of the park. The first movie and how they did the effects and everything was just so beautiful. It really reinvigorated, I guess, my passion for learning about Iron Man and seeing what the comic book was about and all that. But before that, I didn't know any history of Iron Man. I didn't really see it. And the few cartoons that came on were not spectacular.
I was about to say that. I did buy a few DVDs of the cartoons, you know, that came out before the movie. And, you know, Morton Downey, man, just took that character and put it over the top. The guy is more like a, what's that dude's name? The guy in the cartoon is very Clark Gable-ish. If you know about Clark Gable, he's very like debonair, you know, he doesn't have any edge to him at all, you know, and very like, you know, stereotypical 40s style heroic, you know, that's the best way I can describe him. Very Clark Gable-ish.
Oh.
But in the movie, man, oh man, Morton Downey, man, you know,
Robert Downey.
Oh, that's right. Morton Downey is the talk show guy. That's right. I'm sorry.
That would have been the worst episode of Iron Man ever.
You know who I'm talking about.
That man really pop
off
choice.
And them big teeth coming at you. I don't know.
Okay.
He was a good choice. I think he's very charming. He's very engaging. He's funny, you know. So he really made that character work.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, that's great stuff.
Okay. Any more nitpicks? Any more anything?
Gary Shandling. That was hilarious.
Oh my God! Yes.
Starting out with that congressional hearing, because it is something. It's something that we have all seen, you know, me being right here in D.C. weekly, I get congressional hearings. But, man, just to see finally somebody with some sense on the corporate side countering the politicians that had their, you know, their own agendas and whatever going on. To see him just standing up and make a farce of that proceeding was really cool. And not in an insulting way. Well, it was insulting, but not in an untruthful way. You know, he's like, dude, you know, look, this is my stuff. Give me a break. I'm saving the planet. I've unified the countries. Give me a break. Can I just get some something to drink here?
And he co-opted the screen and showed what people were doing around the world with his own little hollow whatever dilly, and that was
so cool.
Yeah,
Phineas, now you talk about Terminator. I mean, a RoboCop 2. You remember the versions of RoboCop that they went through in RoboCop?
Yeah,
now you
remember
the suits. I was feeling all that before, but it was still funny.
Yeah, but yeah, the only difference is that instead of the rival person doing the development, it's a rival company, you know. But it was all the same thing, you know. They were building robots that couldn't walk downstairs, and you know, and had all this firepower, but weren't smart. I mean, it was, you know, like I said. And then the whole deal with the drones, you know, when I saw the drones, I was like, man, this is like RoboCop all over again, you know, except that these drones can fly. And then how come the, and here we go with the whole service thing again. How come the Marine robots, all they get is little pistols and everybody else had lasers and missiles and everything else. How come the Marine robots didn't get nothing but pistols? I don't understand that crap.
Well, you gotta remember, they got the extra armor though. They got the extra, in the fight, they were ready to crumble, see, so don't worry about that. And they had the camo, cause no one's gonna see. No one's gonna see.
Why is a Navy drone going to do with a bunch of missiles? And why would the Navy need a drone anyway? They're on a boat, you know? And what are you going to do, you know? Just have a whole bunch of robots standing out there on the bow, you know, firing missiles, you know? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
But the camo was cool because, of course, no one is going to see a two-story tall robot walking through the forest. The camo. I know. He'll blend, right?
I don't blend. Oh, that's right. Triple X was a Navy SEAL. That's right.
Oh, God. Well, they were cool. I mean, they dropped down, or no, they raised up out of the floor, and I was like, wow, those things are massive. And, you know, Sam Rockwell did
hammer.
His little, Hammer did his little hammer moves to the
Hammer thing. Time.
It was a perfect scene. I don't know.
Dude had the nerve to have trip hop in his presentation, you know.
And try to do.
But he did pull off. You know what he pulled off? And you might not have noticed it. He pulled off that little James Brown foot move.
I know. That's what I was talking about.
I was impressed. He pulled that off.
He must have worked all week on that.
Oh, my God.
He was so proud.
I was like, that dude got some rhythm. Look at him.
Oh yeah, he pulled it off.
He has really come around. I mean, he was underappreciated for so long, this guy, and now he's starting to get a lot of love. So I'm glad for Sam Rockwell.
Hammer time.
Okay, guys. So, anything else? Any other nitpicks? I love this movie all the way around. I didn't care about the cliche anything, because that's what I was expecting. I didn't expect anything more. It was funny. I'm in love with Tony Stark. I mean, what else?
I agree. I think I got entertained. I was very entertained. Like I said, you know, it was just that it was kind of like I said, it was just not, it was what I expected to a degree, but it was really didn't do this movie justice to call this an Iron Man 2. They could have just called it Iron Man Attack of, you know, Attack of the Drones.
Attack of the Drones, yes.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Yeah, no, I'm just saying, that's what it would have been, you know, that would have been more appropriate, because to call this a 2 movie, it's the only thing that's in common with the first movie is that they tried to give you a sense of this is how it was 6 months after he announced he was Iron Man. But other than that, the movie did not have really any linearity with the first.
Yeah, you wanted some continuity. I don't know. I don't know if I care about that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I didn't care about it. I just thought that the movie Iron Man 2 was like inappropriate. You know, nobody came back from the first movie. I mean, I was thinking, okay, what was going to happen? Okay, who did they leave? I'm thinking the whole time, who did they leave alive in the first movie that's going to come back and get their revenge? But that's not what happened. This was totally different thing, totally different villain.
Well, it's going to be a different villain next time, too, you know?
But yeah, they should. Well, see, I'm going to bring it up. Okay, I think, like I said, just like in the Star Wars movie, okay, they started putting numbers on them, but you know, but even those were more, had more linearity between the sequels than this one did. This one was like, okay, I didn't see anybody really, you know, except for Stark and the Lieutenant Colonel from the first movie. I didn't really see anybody that was like from the Middle East or was in the band or
the guys. Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, none of those guys survived.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, your wrap-up, Carl?
Well, I nitpick because I love it. Honestly, I'm serious. I really did like the movies. Excuse me. I like this movie. I like this movie. I was entertained. I've seen it more than once. I'm hoping I've seen more than once. And I'm hoping that we're going to get a little bit more in 3. Because I'm telling you, as soon as Iron Man 1 ended, I was ready for the sequel. I mean, seriously, in the theater, I was like, all right, next one. Bring it on, the next one. And so, and I was hoping that they would address, you know, some of the quickness that I felt in the first movie in the second one.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, just like I said, where, you know, you throw water on them, bad guys defeated. You know, it's just, I didn't feel like there was a big enough crescendo in the end of that one. And guess what? They did it again in this one. I was like, come on. But
I mean, it's a formula. It's a family-friendly summer movie formula. And, I mean, you're just not going to get anything more than that, Carl.
That is setting the bar too low. I'm serious. With what we got.
I agree with that. You know, agree with that, but.
I'm just saying, don't let them get away with it. I'm sure. Before
well,
the summer's
call
over,
your crackpot until you.
No. Okay. Look. Before the summer's over, I'm telling you. Before the summer's over, we're gonna see something innovative. We're gonna see one movie that's gonna come, just like
Tron? Well, that's not summer. That's Christmas.
I don't think that's gonna be. No, I don't think that's gonna be it. But what I'm talking about, just like I think it's gonna be good, but I don't think it's gonna break the mold or is gonna be something really innovative. Like District 9,
yes,
okay?
That's
District what I'm
9.
Talking about when I'm saying it's possible to make a big movie and have it do something in the end that's unexpected or something that's non-linear, it's not popcorn, it's not predictable. That it's possible to do that, and especially when you got the kind of guns behind you that they had for Iron Man 2, no pun intended, that, you know, I really figured, hey, you know, they're going to show us something maybe a little bit different or a little bit new. So, you know, on one hand, yeah, if you're going to pull the whole, you know, Transformers, Michael Bay kind of thing, fine. You know, you can do the cookie cutter solution, but they put so much work and so much real intelligence into Iron Man that I kept hoping that they were going to show me something in that area. So like I said, the movie was fun. It's popcorn. I enjoyed it, but I really wanted to see something more in that part of it. But that's okay. The summer ain't over. We'll see it someplace else. I know it.
They didn't even kidnap they didn't even kidnap the girlfriend or the CEO of the company or everyone.
Yeah, Pepper. Pepper was just like chilling like Penny at Inspector Gadget. She's like, well, I'm going to turn off his suit now. It was just that was it.
How'd you like that scene where they're sitting at the bad guy's computer terminal and he says, oh, I'm all right. I'll stop dying. And then the other lady comes out on the other screen and they're arguing across the screen. You know? I didn't know you were dying. What do you mean you're dying? I was like, well, who the hell dialed you up? You know?
Yeah, that was funny.
We're in the chat room now, you know? Man, we're on Skype, you know?
That was cute. Okay, guys. Well, Iron Man was fun, and I really thank you guys for coming on and talking about it with me. And we look forward to the next summer movie, and I don't know what that's going to be, but I'm pretty sure you guys will nitpick it apart.
You and me, Kat, are going to be at the theater for M. Night's latest movie.
You know what? No, we did not lose our connection again, but the conversation after that turned into a sci-fi after party where we discussed summer movies. We got into a passionate discussion about Stargate Universe. I ended up defending it kind of hardcore. I was surprised by that. Also, some other stuff that I forgot about, but it's very entertaining, very funny stuff, and I'd like for you to check it out, and it will be in the feed sometime after this has aired. So check it out then. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. That's 773-336-2686 if you would like to leave a voicemail and have us tack it on at the end of the episode and kind of, you know, maybe we'll heckle you a little bit, but or maybe not, or maybe we'll agree with you. We don't know. Visit our website at scifipartyline.com where you can leave comments about the episode. We love that. And if you like the show and you don't really feel like, you know, getting all deep and going anywhere, just at scifipartyline on Twitter and, you know, leave us a brief comment and we'll maybe talk about it on the show. That'll be exciting. So I hope you enjoyed this show and I will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Hello.
Well, hello, sir.
Ah, there we go. Hey, what's happening, people?
Nothing
what's
much.
What's up, City Slicker?
City Slicker.
Oh, boy. I think I finally rolled out of bed for you early, folks.
Really, dude? Really? Come on. I remember you fussing at me about waking up at 1.
But see, that was different because, you know, you're a country girl. See, I was supposed
to be. Did you call me country girl?
Yeah, you're a country girl.
Really?
I was supposed to be.
Are we doing that?
She got more gadgets than you got, man. What are you talking about?
No, I don't know about that, but. Country girl. All right, Carl. I got your number, dude.
Hey, you always called me a Yankee. I don't want to hear it.
I might have called you a Yankee once. I said you were in Yankee time. That's it.
So if you're a Yankee, then what does that make me?
You're a mutt. You from everywhere.
All right. I guess I'll have to put up with that title.